Hello everybody, welcome to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your final episode of 2023. Chelsea just about edging out Luton Town. My word, didn't think I'd be saying that by the end of the year. But here we are, it is. But January's come around the corner, New Year's resolutions galore, all that good stuff. But yeah, we hope you had a good Christmas. I hope you obviously are ready for the new year. And Chelsea's Christmas was pretty satisfactory, I'd say, despite the loss at Molineux. Wins over Crystal Palace and Luton end the awful year on a high. But it's just me and Tom today after Tobes could have gone pro with his knee injury. It has resurfaced because he went on a night out on the 30th and apparently as he walked down the stairs, it just... I don't know. How can you do that? Oh, sorry, Tobes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's in agony. We probably shouldn't laugh, but he's torn his meniscus again by walking down the stairs.
It's the way he's gone. Oh, I'll probably just heal itself. It's like, no, Tobes, it doesn't work like that. You need to go get that looked at.
He's 26, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. He's just coming into his prime, you know, according to football terms. But yeah, it's one of those, unfortunately. So it's just myself and Tom. But to be fair, Chelsea's injury crisis has actually hit the Chelsea Echo because all of us are carrying knocks. I've done something to my hip flexor when I was boxing the other day. So that is like, I've not been able to sleep at all on my right side, which is the side I normally sleep on. So that's been fun. Tom, you've done something, haven't you?
I played football this morning and my right ankle is in trouble and my left groin isn't very happy either. But other than that, we're all good.
Brilliant. And then Gary was in hospital, so he gets better. The only one that isn't hurt is Jordan. And I don't know how that's even possible because he's the one who does probably the most physical activity out of all of us, considering he's a golf coach. So it's a bit like, right, okay, this is the situation we're in. But yeah, that's it. Injury crisis has hit the Chelsea Echo. But fortunately, we do have some other news as well as we hit 2024. We have a new show. We have two new shows, actually, coming over the new year. We're going to be giving you a hit, which is going to be basically 5 minutes of transfer news. You know, as you remember, when I used to do my video content, I will be doing it again soon at some point, but I want to get this right first. I did 5 and 5 at 5 p.m, which was 5 bits of choice transfer news in 5 minutes at 5 o'clock. You won't be getting it at 5 o'clock because we all have jobs and lives. So we won't be doing that, but we will be recording them late in the evening so you get your first dose of Chelsea transfer news on the way to work in the morning, and we'll also be rotating that between the few of us. Also, we have a show coming now, which will be after every single game. We'll be doing Twitter Space, and it will be hosted by The Score. He will be doing our version of 606 and call-ins. So you'll have that with a rotating guest. Him and myself are going to be doing one New Year's Day, just as like a handing the baton situation, so he can get his feet under the table, get everything sorted. And obviously, that's going to be a process as well. So yeah, I've got a couple of bits coming for you, which is nice, coming into the new year. Speaking of the new year, Tom, plans, what are you doing tonight?
Hello. Well, we always do the same thing. We just go to my mate's house. There's like 20 of us, I think, and we just settle in and have fun and see where the night takes us. Usually a pretty late one, as it is for most people, I'm sure. And hopefully I can walk there. It's not that far away, but when you've got a left groin and a right ankle, I'm struggling to walk up the stairs at the moment, but we'll figure it out. Yeah, should be fun. What about you?
Yeah, I'm just... I was going to go up and see a friend in Leamington Spa, but it's my brother's birthday tomorrow, so I've been asked to... I've been ordered to hang around London. So I wasn't able to do that. So I'm probably going to be having a quiet one tonight. I've got a friend who's having a few drinks at his, so I'll probably go to that. And then I say that I'll probably walk in the door at 7 o'clock again this morning, or tomorrow morning, which is what he did with me last year. It was it was heavy. Yeah. Well, you got any resolutions?
Run more. Eat less, drink less. Same as every year. It'll last till January the 3rd. But we'll try.
Yeah, we'll try. Fair enough. I'm just trying to... I want to keep up the boxing. That's my thing. But it's kind of... I started it, obviously, in November. So I basically... My aim right now, and it's been my target since then, was... So I'm not allowed to cut my hair. I'm allowed to get it shaped, but I'm not allowed to cut my hair until I hit under 100 kilos. So right now, I've lost 5 already, so I'm basically looking to get down to 100, and then from there I'm sort of like, I'll get a nice haircut. I might buzz it. I haven't decided yet, but I'm quite liking the long hair. But I got that.
It's come to you, mate. I need to get my own hair shaped. I'll be there early New Year.
I've been telling you that for ages.
I've been busy. Now I will not be as busy. I can be there in Angel.
Exactly, yeah. I'll be back in the shop in Tuesdays in Angel in the New Year, which would be nice. But yeah, that'll be that. And yeah, actually, my other great thing that is to just get more clients. I've been working on a few little schemes which have stopped me from doing as much as I'd like, but those schemes are coming to fruition now. So now that is the case, I can focus on doing the other bits which I enjoy. But yeah, that's that. Speaking of schemes, Chelsea, it doesn't work. That doesn't work as a transition. I tried. Anyway, Chelsea had a really good game against Luton yesterday. Someone's put it in the notes, and I think it couldn't be said any better. It was a game of two halves, but one half was 70 minutes and the other was 20. 3-0 up, looking to be cruising, but my God, do we like to make it hard for us, do we, Tom?
Yeah, we do. And I think I've watched it back since, and I watched the highlights as well, because I was so confused as to exactly what ignited the Luton transformation kind of thing. And I don't necessarily know if it was really... We made some... You know, we were a bit naive, I think, which has been a thing we've had for most of this season. But I don't think it was necessarily our own doing. I think they just... At Kenilworth Road, they can get inspired by one moment. They had that one moment, which was Alfie Doughty's ball into the box, and Adebayo, I believe it was, who scored it. And then, obviously, that was disallowed for offside, which was a blessing at the time. But that was the ignition, I think, having looked at it, that kind of got Luton a foot into the game. And then, obviously, Barkley scores his header, and then they score again through Adebayo. And it was a really horrible last 9 minutes. But as I said, I don't necessarily think it was our own doing. I think, you know, some good teams have gone to Kenilworth Road and lost. And we've managed to come out of there with 3 points. So overall positives. And actually, to be honest, I think there would have definitely been some things learnt from that. You know, you've dug in, and although you've conceded 2 goals, you managed to hold on to the 3 points when, you know, perhaps even a couple of months ago, this Chelsea side would have probably conceded a third and drawn, and that would have been a very frustrating way to end the year. But in the end, we come off it with positives. You know, we had players played well. Cole Palmer, don't really need to mention that. He was, once again, our best player. Madueke, etc., which we'll all come on to more, and everyone's new favourite little 5-minute cameo man, Alfie Gilchrist. So yeah, it's a good win. I think we did well to finish that with 3 points. As I've said, I didn't expect to beat Luton, to be honest with you. I definitely didn't expect to be 3-0 up. So I'm taking it as a positive. But yeah, it was a tough end. But as I say, fair play for getting points.
Yeah, I agree. I've got a fun stat for you about Cole Palmer. I don't know if you saw it on the Chelsea Echo Twitter last night. For those of you that aren't following the Chelsea Echo Twitter, where the fuck have you been? Come on, got to get back on that. That needs to be, you know, more regular. Check us out, give us a bit of news, yada, 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 yada. But the fun fact about Cole Palmer is, aside from Jude Bellingham, did you know that he has the most goal contributions in Europe for a player under the age of 21?
Yeah, that is a fun fact. And I think... Well, I think for me, I don't know about you, I thought it was a bit of a random signing, but I was kind of like, you know what, he's a good player, and he has played well for City in the first few games of the season. Like, well, let's see what happens, why not? But I did not expect him to be this good.
No.
And become our most important player. Obviously, we haven't, Nkunku's yet to really embed himself into the team, and I quite like that he's being brought back gradually rather than just, there you go, you're in now. But I think you were slightly more sceptical, and I saw a tweet about it where you were like, well, yeah, fair enough.
I was very, very, very sceptical. I mean, we spoke about it the day it happened. I remember I was sat at the cafe. I'd just finished a sales call, and I was literally sitting there looking at my phone. I see Chelsea spent £40 million on Cole Palmer. I looked at how many games he's played, and I've gone, oh, Jesus Christ, here we go again. And then he's done what he's done. So, you know, this is one of the situations where I look at it and I go, do you know what? Fair enough, fair play. As much as we've criticised the sporting directors and the talent ID, to be fair, you know, there's been a few diamonds in the Amazon rainforest that we found. A couple of them seem to be coming from, one comes from Manchester, one comes from France, one comes from the Tottenham Academy. So, you know, we've seen a few, and credit where it's due, they've picked up a couple of good players, but still, let's not sell Conor Gallagher for a 12-year-old from Brazil for the same price. That would be great. But yeah, I mean, with that, obviously, Cole Palmer, we sort of talked about there, being probably the key player yesterday, no surprises there. fantastic first take on his goal, obviously passed out to him, but he took the opportunity fantastically. But I want to talk about that second goal. Oh my God, Tom, I needed to change my trousers, mate. That was that was complete utter filth. Like, I'm going to make a very big statement here. That was Eden Hazard-esque. That was, he ball rolls the goalkeeper, he drops his shoulder once, and three players are on the floor, and then he just taps it in. It's like, oh my God, that was absolutely astounding.
Yeah. To be fair, I think all three goals were pretty good, but that one was obviously the best of the three. He's playing with this, a bit like Hazard, this confidence that is so close to being arrogance, where literally everything he does just turns to gold, and he, like, his head's up, it doesn't matter if he makes a mistake, he doesn't care, he'll go on and do it again, and the next time we'll get it right. And he's scoring goals. You know, we've spoke about it earlier on the season where, yeah, he'd scored four goals or five goals, whatever, they're all penalties. Well, they're not anymore. He's scoring goals and good goals, he's assisting, he's the talisman in this team, and he's what, 20 21? I know it's a young team anyway, but he's playing with, I think, maturity beyond his years, and it's very exciting to have a player like that. Obviously, as I keep mentioning Nkunku, because I really believe he's going to be very good, he's got that first goal off his back now, so we don't have to worry about that and the pressure that might bring. Things are starting to look a little bit more positive, but we've been here before, I'm not going to get carried away, but this is it's a nice way to end the year on a positive, a difficult away win. It stops the, you know, we lost four away games in a row for the first time since, I think it was 2000 under Ranieri. So we don't have to break another record and go five losses in a row away from home. We haven't lost at Stamford Bridge in the Prem since, or in any competition actually, since Brentford at the end of October. So, you know, there's little things starting to come together, which is good. Obviously, you know, United lost yesterday. We're only 3 points behind them. Newcastle have got Liverpool away. Like, if they lose, we're only a point behind them. Brighton and West Ham are playing each other, so one of them, well, both of them are going to drop points. So we're kind of building ourselves, getting into the mix for those sort of lower European places, which I think is probably about where we should be aiming. You know, Champions League long gone, realistically. So it's good, and hopefully we can have a good 2024 and be more positive like this more often.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually did a little look ahead, sort of. I did the maths, which is kind of what you need to do rather than look at, you know, who everyone's playing and trying to figure it out. But I kind of did the maths for us, and then a little look at the other fixtures, and roughly, I looked at our games, and I was prudent for the majority, but there's some games where I was like, do you know what, like, I don't think that we'll lose that, or we'll win that. There's a few draws, and I think I put down about three or four losses for the rest of the season, which is incredibly unlikely, let's be brutally honest. But I think we'll hit that 55-60 point mark. And with that, over the past few years, it's kind of either been, it's been very bipolar, basically. It's either been you finish fifth or sixth, or you finish eighth or ninth, sort of like that bracket there, like the lower European places, seventh, eighth, ninth. So I think realistically, we're going to be around where we are now, but that's purely down to, I think, our incredibly shoddy form at the beginning of the season. Having said that, if we carry on with this form, which I know, as I said, is very unlikely, you know, it's great to have seen us get two wins and a bounce, but, you know, we're going to hit a very, very hard run sort of January through to the middle of March. You know, that run is not very pretty. So, you know, we've really got to hope we can pick up as many points as we can before then. But, you know, I do think that, you know, a player like Cole Palmer can help that team. You know, he carried it in opportunities. He's done that a lot this season. Like you said, it's confidence, virtue and arrogance. And having players that can do that, it's in fact, not just even just players, just people in general. People who can do that, it's actually amazing. It's something which is a skill which I don't think very many people can master. In terms of the sport itself, you know, you're looking at probably, say, you know, big names that have obviously mastered that, probably Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Eden Hazard, Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, these are players who, you know, mastered that confidence, virtue and arrogance. But, you know, overall, you know, if Cole Palmer carries on that, and the form as well, he's quietly gone about his business. The statistic I gave earlier, I'm looking at that guy and, do you know what? Like, if only Jude Bellingham is ahead of you and you're tied for goals and creativity with Florian Wirtz, which everyone is raving about, people are talking about paying £100 million for, then, do you know what? Fair play. And I'm very happy with that. There's obviously talk of other signings coming in, and I'm looking at this squad and I'm going, God, where are we going to fit these guys? Like, if with the team coming back, you know, we look at it, I think the only place which really needs assessing for me right now is centre forward. That's it.
I agree.
Look at centre backs in the summer, I'd say. I think right now we're fine. You know,
give him the season. Give him the rest of the season, because they're all new. Even Badiashile, he played a lot at Arsenal, he looked good, but then he's been injured for most of this season. So he's kind of got to regroup. Silva, this is realistically probably Thiago Silva's last season, although we've said that three times before, but surely at 40 this is it. So we'll have to obviously come up with a new, more experienced centre-back or centre-backs this summer. And then, yeah, we need to decide whether Levi Cole is a centre-back or a left-back. I think he's a left centre-back, but he seems to be playing left-back, and actually thought he played pretty well yesterday. So, yeah, I agree. I think up front's kind of the only area that needs looking at. I thought actually Nico Jackson played well on the left yesterday. I thought that was his best game for a little while for us. Breuer was fine, but he's what he is. He's a target man, and I'm not sure we want that.
I don't know. So, I think we need that physicality.
I'm not sure we need it every week.
I disagree. I think having someone like that, because he has the manoeuvrability as well, but the beauty of Armando Breuer yesterday was he drew in the centre-backs and he allowed the space for Nico Jackson and Noni Madueke to flourish because he drew the attention to him. And obviously it means he could knock the ball off to Cole Palmer and create in that way as well. Chelsea have always thrived on having a target man. And to be brutally honest, the past couple of times we've had someone who's not a target man and played centre-forward, and I'm talking Roman era as well here, and I'm looking at now as well, we've been shit. It doesn't work. And I think the quality of player we have those tricky wingers and those players which are great and have that amazing technical ability. We just don't have anybody with a bit of grit. And that's what I want. I think that's what we need. Obviously, I was banging on about Victor Osimhen for 130 million, but again, 18 months left on the contract for Ivan Toney, and probably £40 million less. Yes, he's 27 years of age. Yes, he's done it with Brentford. Yes, it's people find excuse after excuse after excuse. He's not a shiny new toy, but I tell you what, he'll be the person which I really
think he's exactly what
level.
We need. Yeah, I think he's exactly what we need. He also thrives with quick wingers, as he's done with Brentford. So you know, we have an abundance of quick wingers who just need someone to play off and, you know, get involved. Obviously Palmer's done well, but he's an elite penalty taker. He's another one who has that confidence bordering on arrogance. He's got 20 goals in not even a full season because he got banned for betting at Brentford. Like, he's
but 10
he's,
were penalties.
That doesn't matter. Goals exactly. Are goals, isn't it? No. Lampard scored 22 goals in a season. People bang on about that. How many of them were penalties? Like, you can't have it both ways. He's a very good number nine. I want a player who's got Premier League experience to fill in. And I want someone, like you say, experienced. You've gone on about it for ages in that sort of 27-ish age range. That's perfect. The only negative, I think, with him, and that is, you know, he can't do anything about it now, is that he hasn't played at all season. But having said that, he's not been injured, so he'll be fresh, hopefully. So I think he's a perfect signing, but we're not the only suitors. You know, Arsenal are looking at him. I think Spurs are looking at him. So we'll have to see.
Well, there's another one that's just come on the market. I don't know if you saw my tweet yesterday. He's leaving Jeddah. He left for personal reasons. I don't know if it's left. Karim Benzema might be knocking about. I'll have that for 6 months. Don't mind me.
After causing us problems for a couple of years, it'd be nice to have him doing the opposite. Get us into Europe.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, we'll move swiftly on. Obviously, transfers are going to be the big talking point over the next month, which means we're going to be producing content pretty much every single day. It's going to be insane. But with the game itself, we talked about tricky wingers, and I didn't give him enough credit in the Crystal Palace game, and I want to give him the credit now. Noni Madueke, wow. What a game he had. Absolutely fantastic. And the way that he took his goal as well, you know, it was one of those opportunities where if you strike it and it doesn't go in, you're going to have everyone in your back. But that's the second game in a row where he's done something where if it's gone wrong and it blows up in his face, it was going to be on him. But twice he has delivered. He was fantastic yesterday.
Yeah, he was. I think we'll come to him again a bit later on in Act 3. But yeah, I think he was brilliant. I've wanted him to play for a while. I know he annoyed Poch with that, you know, going out thing. But like, come on, got to play him, give him a chance. He hasn't really had a chance. Sterling's been a bit meh for a while. That decision against Wolves, I hope, has put him on the bench for a little while, because that's an absolute disgrace for any player, let alone a 29-year-old with however many England caps and Man City titles and everything he's wanted to do. So, yeah, Madueke for me, I'd like to see him in there a lot more often. Mm. You know, I think him, Mudryk, and Nkunku, Palmer, that's a fun front four. I'm not sure how exactly it works, but it's fun. And, you know, we're kind of at the stage where we're starting to have a little bit more fun, and I think that's because, you know, we're playing players who are, you know, fit kind of what we're trying to do a bit better.
Mm. Well, I mean, we'll move on to the Act 3 now and a bit of analysis. I'm doing that mainly because we've got 7 minutes left on the Zoom call, but then also because we've kind of touched on the game. Obviously, Ross Barkley scored.
Yeah.
In voice note preview, obviously, December was the month. Ross Barkley was the 11th player to score against former teams in that month alone. That is absolutely insane. But it was always going to come. Ross Barkley was going to turn into, you know, Zinedine Zidane. And it happened. But yeah, obviously, we saw it out. Thiago Silva annoyed at the end. Rightfully so. Pochettino kind of coming out and saying, he's always angry. But, you know, that's what... you know, good players are about. I'm like, yeah, he's angry because we've been shit and we're not doing a lot about it. But yesterday, you know, was the end. Today is the last day of the year. Tomorrow is a new dawn in 2024. So, with that being said, you mentioned Noni Madueke. And you said you wanted to talk about sort of potentially him a bit more. And there was a certain other player who's been playing right wing this season, which I think, to be fair, has... I think separated the pod quite a lot. Is Noni Madueke the player who's now should be starting ahead of Raheem Sterling?
Yes.
Cool.
Definitely. I mean, after those two games, I mean, yes.
I don't think it's a question, is it? Should we just move on?
Yeah.
Brilliant. What's our best front four?
this is more debatable. I don't think this will be over in 2 seconds. Because now Nkunku's back. And Madueke's been given a chance, scored a couple of goals. Obviously, Palmer's our best player, and I think Mudryk's important. But then also, you need a bit more physicality. I don't know what our best front four is. I would like to see them play that in a game. Mudryk, Palmer, Nkunku, and Madueke. But, as I say, I think you'll need a Jackson or a Broya to hold it all together. So one of them doesn't start, which probably at the moment would be Mudryk, but then he's been looking pretty good as well. So it's tough, but that's a nice problem to have. But as I say, you know, we're just completely, you know, putting Sterling out of the question now. I'm sure we won't be, but that might be a good thing for Sterling. He might have a point to prove. Oh, actually, I need to sort myself out here. I don't know if he actually cares. So we'll have to see if he does care enough to put himself in and try and get a starting place back.
Mm. Yeah, well, I feel exactly the same. I think the whole situation is, it's a bit of a nightmare in terms of Raheem Sterling with that. Like you said, you're not sure if he cares. I couldn't summarise it better. I think it's harsh, but I do think that we've not really seen enough for me consistently for him to say he warrants a place in that team. I think you're right about the four. I think Mudryk's probably going to be one that makes way. I don't think you can drop Nkunku. I don't think you can drop Palmer. Noni Madueke is on form right now. Sorry, Mikhailo, as much as you've been great, you know, we're going to struggle to get you to start every week in this team right now. And obviously, if we're bringing a centre forward, that's definitely going to be the case anyway, unless you're moving Nkunku out of position into that position. But if you do that, we've already seen you're not going to get the best out of him. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens with that and as it flourishes. Obviously, another big player of the past couple of games has been Malo Gusto, making it significantly better that we haven't had Reece James, I guess. You know, less of a worry at that right-back position. But we mentioned Colwell as well. But there's two I want to touch on quickly before we wrap up. And that is Alfie Gilchrist and Jordi Petrovic. So these are two players who, over the past month, have sort of put their names into the team now, sort of become part of the fold. Alfie Gilchrist has come under significant flack. Obviously, John Terry has said big things about him, and that has caused a little bit of a whirlwind. But much like Gary Anderson talking about Lou Littler at the darts, just let the lad play football. Or, you know, let the lad play darts. You know, I've been seeing them doing lots of Zoom calls. You know, it's getting nice.
Graham Sinessa's here.
I know, right? That's like, disgusting. But yeah, Alfie Gilchrist, mate.
Mm.
How nice is it to see somebody who actually yells at people and tells them what to do?
Passion.
Oh, mate,
do like that passion. There's one thing I will say about him, and this isn't to take anything away from him at all, but I do think after the Palace game, there was a lot of hype about him But yeah, okay, he came on and had a passionate 5 minutes, which is great, and I love to see it, and I want to see more of it. And he made a brilliant tackle against Luton right at the very end to basically secure the 3 points. But I thought Mauro Augusto, which you mentioned, was amazing against Crystal Palace, and all the attention seemed to go to Gilchrist, which I don't think is very good for either player, really. I think, you know, you've got to praise players when they're playing well, but also you don't want to put everything on a young kid who's had 5 minutes. He's now played, what, 10 minutes? And he looks the part, but we need to see a lot more for him before we start heaping this praise on. You don't want to, you know, do what we've done with so many players in the past and put them up on this pedestal and maybe they're not actually quite there. But I am positive. That's not the word I wanted to use. I am optimistic about his future and I'm delighted with his attitude, and I think he's exactly what we need. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, and let's wait till he has a proper game, if that makes sense.
I agree. And hopefully that'll be against Preston. I did like in the Luton game when he came on, you just hear him shouting at Enzo. It's the first thing you see. Talking about going the five at the back, and he goes to the World Cup winner. No, you fuck off. You go there, all right? Stay there. It's like, if I'm Enzo Fernandez, as much as I'm like still a young lad, I'm looking at him going, you're a toddler, mate. Who are you? What's going on? But he's done that. And, you know, credit to him. We'll obviously talk more about him as time goes on, hopefully.
Actually, just quickly as well there, speaking of Enzo, thought he was going to be out for ages. He's played back already.
Was he?
He played.
He played, but we'll have to see. I'm a bit worried about that. I don't know. That seems like it was a little bit of a stretch.
Mm.
So, but yeah, I think we'll have to see how he does. And obviously January, well, by the looks of things, we're going to be dipping into market for a centre midfielder of age under 5. So, you know, we'll see who it is. But
from,
you know,
the undies.
the last thing I want to touch on before we wrap up for the last pod of 2023, Jordi Petrovic, fantastic save right at the end of the game there. Is he now Chelsea's number one goalkeeper?
He could be. Yeah, he could be. I mean, I think he's going to have another couple of months, isn't he? So, yeah, why not? He's Chelsea's number one until he's not.
Exactly. Sounds good to me. We'll leave it at that. And we're only doing that because the Zoom call's about to end. But anyway, guys, this has been the Chelsea Echo for 2023. We'll see you in 2024. This has been a Highway 61 Network production. It's been me. It's been Tom. Make sure you follow us on all our socials. Make sure to give the pod a 5-star review. And we'll see you guys in the new year. See you later.
Happy New Year.